There's a shortage of military translators who know Arabic. One of the translators, who is fluent in Arabic, was discharged from the military in March because he's gay. Stephen Benjamin was a petty officer second class in the Navy, stationed in Fort Gordon, Georgia. He attended the Defense Language Institute, graduated in the top 10% of his class, and spent 2 years in the Navy as an Arabic translator. He violated Don't Ask, Don't Tell by instant messaging his former roommate, who is also gay and was stationed in Iraq. The message, which made reference to their sexual orientation, was on the military's chat system. The system is monitored on government computers and randomly checked. After their message was read by inspectors, Benjamin was given an honorable discharge. His former roommate was allowed to finish his tour in Iraq before getting his honorable discharge.
Now, you were an interpreter of Arabic. I've read that there's a shortage of Arabic interpreters. What could you say about that shortage from your perspective as a former interpreter?
There's definitely a huge shortage of Arabic linguists. Pretty much everywhere in the military. It's incredibly useful to have someone who speaks Arabic out with units in Iraq, but generally they don't have someone. If they do, a lot of times it's a civilian contractor who incidentally are allowed to be gay, even though they're in a combat zone, because they're civilians. The military contracts out a lot of that also to Iraqi natives, but it's really hard finding people that they can trust, people that can hold a security clearance, and people that can do the language work they need to. For Americans, it's really hard to learn the language. The Defense Language Institute has a pretty high attrition rate in the more difficult languages like Korean, Chinese, Arabic. And then a lot of people just barely make the minimum scores. So when they go out to their jobs, they might not be as effective as people who have higher language scores and higher language abilities. Condoleezza Rice came out a few months ago and was saying how much of a shortage the State Department has for Arabic linguists. It's government-wide. We don't have enough people to speak the language.
Do you think the military felt forced to discharge you because once your message was read and once you'd kind of outed yourself, do you think they felt like they had no choice?
I do think that. I know that at least at the local level, with my immediate superiors, nobody really wanted to lose me. And I know that at even higher levels in my command, I really don't think that this was the kind of thing that they wanted to be spending their time on. They didn't want to lose a sailor for a reason that's just, not really legitimate. You have people who get kicked out of the military for doing drugs, or get DUIs, or can't meet the physical fitness standards, and then here they are kicking out two perfectly good Arabic translators without any disciplinary problems in the past. They meet all the standards, and, they're forced to kick us out.
I'm wondering why you even joined the military, knowing that you were expected to be closeted and that the military didn't really want gay people, if you interpret this policy at face value.
I had always loved languages. I took Spanish for 6 years, and after I graduated high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and I knew the military had just a huge shortage of translators, so it seemed like a pretty good deal. I get to serve my country, they pay for me to go to school, and I get to learn something that I probably wouldn't be able to learn as fluently or as well as in the civilian world. So the Don't Ask, Don't Tell really didn't play into my decision. I didn't understand the policy completely when I joined. I thought it was, hey, you're not going to tell us, we're not going to ask, and we'll just leave it at that. We're not going to kick you out unless you come up to us and write a letter that says, hey, I'm gay, kick me out. And
that's did write a letter saying, hey, I'm gay. You wrote an email.
Effectively, but not with the intention of getting kicked out.
I see.
It's really hard to hide a personal life to people you spend your entire work day with and then go out to drink with. Everyone ends up finding out eventually. It's just unfortunate that the wrong people found out.
So in terms of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, how don't tell were you?
As far as don't tell, when I first joined, I was pretty paranoid. I just didn't tell anyone. I kept to myself. And then once I finally got to Georgia, which was my duty station after my training, I met a lot more gay people, and I met a lot of friends. And, we all hung out together, and it's kind of hard to hide that. And it was never a big deal. No one ever cared. So I guess I kind of just fell into that and just got lax with you know, which people I told or which people I didn't guard myself as much.
Obviously, you want to get the don't ask, don't tell policy changed, and you'd like to see gays accepted on an equal footing in the military. What do you think it would take to change the policy?
I think there's plenty of support in Congress right now. There's 126 co-sponsors on a bill that's pretty much sat untouched for 2 years, basically because the chairman of the Armed Services Committee won't bring it to hearing. But a lot of that is because Congress defers to the military on military matters. I mean, which makes sense. A Harvard law graduate isn't really going to know too much about the actual logistics of running a war. So I think it's going to take people like Admiral Mullen, when he takes over for as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and other chiefs of the services to come out and say, hey, we can make this work. And I think they need to talk to the troops actually on the ground, because the vast majority of them are comfortable serving with gays, and things are a lot different than they were in 1994. Once that happens, I think Congress will be a lot more open to passing the law to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
If you weren't discharged because the military discovered you were gay, would you have wanted to continue to serve?
I would have finished my enlistment. I was getting ready to re-enlist as well for another 4 years. I'm not sure if I would have stayed in past that. I think that if the policy stayed in effect, it's really taxing to be gay for many, many years in the military. I would imagine most gay people who don't get kicked out don't usually re-enlist. So that's another huge number of people that the military is losing every year because of this policy that goes uncounted.
My guest is Stephen Benjamin. He was an Arabic translator in the Navy. He was discharged in March because he's gay. He was outed when he used the military's instant messaging system to chat with his former roommate, who's also gay, and was stationed in Iraq. The messaging system is monitored by the military and randomly checked. Now, the way you've described it, you were part of a circle of gay people where you were stationed who hung out together and who kept each other secret. So now that you're out, does that mean they've been outed too? Do you know what I mean? That does it become clear that they're gay because you were part of that circle, and are they worried now about getting discharged themselves?
The group I was in was kind of interesting because most of us were out to our peers in our offices for the most part. And there were plenty of straight people in our group as well. So I don't necessarily think an association with me means, oh, hey, that person might be gay. But rumors aren't enough under the policy, usually, to kick someone out. I mean, that's not really stopping someone's command from going to check out their MySpace profile to see who their friends are, or, you know, just starting an impromptu kind of under-the-table investigation. But I don't really see that happening because, for the most part, people are, the senior leadership don't want to kick people out under this policy, but they're still kicking out two or three a day military-wide because they're forced to.
Is there a whole code that gay people speak in the military so that they can talk about being gay without using the word gay and without therefore violating policy in an overt way?
Yeah, actually. We use the word family to describe ourselves. Is he family? That kind of thing. It's kind of amusing because we really were family. I mean, they're some of the closest people. Some of the closest relationships I've ever had were in the military.
Were you screened in any way for homosexuality when you joined the military? Are you asked if you're straight or gay?
The law actually, the don't ask part of that law, the only point...
Oh, of course, they can't ask, right.
They can actually ask. The only thing the law prohibits is that they can't ask when you're recruited. Uh-huh. The only thing you're handed is a statement. It's in mixed in with a whole bunch of other recruiting documents. And it just says, I understand the military's policy on homosexuals. And you just put a little X by it.
I don't know if your parents are alive, but if they are, were you out to them when all of this happened with the military?
I was not. I was not out to them before I got kicked out.
What a way to be outed to your parents.
I did tell them before the first media stories hit, and I talked to them about it. Mm-hmm. And they're adjusting pretty well. But it's definitely a lot to drop on them. Hey, I'm not in the military, and by the way, I'm gay. That's kind of a huge thing to drop on someone. And by the way, watch me on CNN next week. You know, that's...
But they're handling that okay?
they're handling it okay. Now they're like, oh, let us know when you're going to be on TV again, or hey, are you in the newspaper this week?
Why did you feel like you couldn't tell them before?
I grew up as a conservative evangelical. My parents are as well. So it was told my whole life that being gay was wrong, and I struggled with that for a long time, especially when they tell you you can change. And, a decade later, I realized that's not going to happen. But it was still difficult to tell them because I knew what they believed, and I really didn't want to challenge their beliefs. It took me a long time to realize who I was, and I didn't even want to think about what it would take or what they would be feeling when I told them.
You know, it must be hard to go from a climate where you're brought up thinking that homosexuality is really bad and that it's within your power to become straight, and then to decide that you disagree with that, but then you end up in the military where, you know, the climate is, well, if you're gay, don't let us know, because if you let us know, you're out of here. I mean, because, yeah. Again, it's such a kind of anti-gay ethos.
It actually wasn't that difficult, because it wasn't really a change from what I was used to. I really didn't come out until after I joined the military. I was still pretty closeted beforehand. Only a few friends knew. So it really wasn't a huge change in the way, you know, I went about my life, because I was closeted when I was out before I was in the military, and then it was just stayed there.
So this really is a big change for you now, huh?
It is a pretty huge change. It's hard getting used to all the attention and knowing that I'm out to everyone. Pretty much, it's really, you type my name into Google, first couple of results that come up, and you know, it's obvious that I'm gay for the rest of my life, and it follows me. But I think I made the right decision, and I think I really hope that I'm making a difference, at least changing some minds out there.
Well, Stephen Benjamin, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Stephen Benjamin worked in the Navy as an Arabic translator before being honorably discharged in March because he's gay.